Now, I need some people to help us tell this story, but I need people who are good at standing still. So not sort of fidget people who fidget about, who scratch their heads and do things like that. People who can stand still. So why don't I have you two there and you? Can you come and do that? Are you coming? Right, you come up on the platform. You warm enough? Are you dressed as a sheep? No. I was just wondering that. All right. Right. Because, let me just get rid of some of this stuff. I need to make you look like you fit the time that this is set. All right. So let's just stick that round your head. If the blood stops flowing, then tell me, all right? We used to have really nice curtains in our house. I'm trying to remember which room this one was in. I think that belonged to Flisty's bedroom. Right, you're looking the part. And a nice red one for you, which will match your jacket. That was a good choice this morning. Did you decide to wear that red jacket? No, your mum must have known what was going on. Right. So, we're going to tell the story that we saw the puppets do. Now, Jesus was a really brilliant storyteller, and he often answered questions by telling a story. Sometimes not to say directly to the person what they needed to hear, but to tell them a story so they'd start thinking, wow, I'm a bit like that. And understand a bit more. But especially, Jesus told stories to tell what God was like. So that as they heard the story in something familiar to them, they would think, I thought you were one of these people who could stand still. That they would think, wow, that's what God's like. Did that come off by itself? That's better. That's better. Let's put that on there. Are you still in there? Right. What size head are you? Did your sister say big? Right. Now, I've got something down here, which is like a window of what you're thinking about. So what you're thinking about and what you're doing. This is what you need to do. You need to stand and hold that. Can you do that? You need to stand and hold that. And you need to stand and hold that. And in our story, there are three main people. And one of them is somebody who is a picture of who Jesus was telling the story to. Because Jesus was telling the story to some religious people who thought they were really, really special. They thought they were the bee's knees, and that everybody should look up at them. And in fact, they thought God would think, he's pretty cool. He is really good. And that's the older son in the story. So you're the older son, all right? So we'll hang that round you. Then the other person in the story, and this is the one that people think about most, he actually was somebody who was an out-and-out rebel. He thought, I want to do what I want to do. If it's going to be good for me, then I want to do it. And he thought about himself, and number one was the important person for him. So you're going to be the younger son, all right? And then the last main person in the story, that's the father. And this is just a beautiful picture of what God, our Heavenly Father, is really like. So that's you in the middle, okay? Now, the father in this story, he was a rich man, and he had loads of stuff. So we'll stick up on there so that we can remember the father is rich. And he had loads and loads of things. These are some of the things that he had. Because he had a farm, he would have some sheep. So we'll stick some sheep on there. And he would definitely had some cows, because we saw the cows earlier on, and they come up in the story. So we know he had, so we'll do a couple of cows there. And because he was rich, he wasn't going out in his wellies, getting all muddy and dirty and clearing out all the barns and all of that. So he had some servants as well that we can stick on there. And he would have had some money. Loads of money as well. So that just gives us a picture of our rich man. So what happens in this story? Well, what happens is the son, one of the sons, comes along to ask a question. Now I want to ask you a question first before we see that, because I'm going to tell you some things that is the same between the younger son and the older son. And I'm going to tell you some things that are different between the younger son and the older son. And I've brought some sweets from the kids at Ken Cupboard. And if at the end, you can come over to me and say, here's one thing that they are the same, and here's one thing they are different, then I would like to give you one of my sweets. So, this is how the story goes. The younger son came along to his father, and he said, Father, give me your share of the estate. In other words, give me my share of your money now. That's what I want from you. I want a share of all this wealth that you have there. Now, that was quite a strange thing to happen. And it really was something that was quite a rotten, horrible thing to do. And he came along and he said, Father, give me my share of the estate. Sorry, what are you doing, Zach?
Grandad, I need to talk to you.
Well, actually, at the minute, I'm talking to all... Can I chat to you at the end? I'm talking to all these people.
It's very important. I need to tell you now.
Sorry, have you just got a minute, guys? Are you sure? This is my grandson. Are you sure I need to talk to you now? Because, in fact, the BBC are even up there. And I've really got to talk to all these people.
No, I need to talk to you now.
Well, sorry, just give us a second. What is it you want?
I don't want you to be my granddad anymore.
What? You don't want me to be your granddad?
I don't need you anymore.
You don't know? But I'm a nice granddad.
All I want is your money. Come on, old man.
Old man.
Give me all your money. I've been waiting long enough.
It's my birthday as well today. Wow. This is moving, isn't it? Good job I brought my wallet. How about if I give you a tenner?
Nah, I want more.
Wow. What have I got here? I've got about £100 here. How about if I give you half of it? There's another 40.
Okay.
Wow. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? You see, Zach's my grandson. And he came and said he doesn't want me to be his granddad anymore. And he just wants my money. He doesn't want me to play with him, to have fun with him, to do things with him. He said, just give me half the money you've got in your wallet. And then he's gone. That is really, really sad. But this younger son, that's really what he was saying, but even worse than that. Because what he was saying really was, when you die, I'm going to have half of your money. Because there's two sons here. I'm guessing what your will say. I can't wait any longer. I really wish you had died. Give me the money now. So that is really, really sad. Now, remember, Jesus was telling this story to the religious leaders. They thought they were really, really good. So they would have been looking down their noses thinking, "Phew, I'm glad I'm not like that younger son in that story that Jesus is telling. We are a lot better than that." So I imagine they were feeling quite smug. They were thinking, we're really good. Let's stick that down the bottom of there. Because the older son, if you remember, he's a picture of the religious leaders that were there. But what about the older son himself? What's he up to? We hear about him at the end of the story. And this is what it says in verse 29 of the story. Let me just read that to you. He said to his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends." So this is what he was thinking. He was thinking, "I've slaved and obeyed your orders." Does that sound like a son who loved his dad? That sounds like a son who just resented being there. Even though there were servants about, there were people working in the fields, and the sons were important people, he said, "All I've done is slaved. I've just done what I've been told, and that's what it's like round here." So he was really not showing much love for his father. So what happens then? Well, the father starts to get together half of what he had. And I think he'd be feeling really quite hurt now. And he started getting half of what he has. So we'll put half the flock of sheep over there, because he's going to give this to his son. We'll stick a cow over there. You, mister, can go and work over there as well. And half of the money too. And he gave that to his son. And I imagine he was thinking, it's going to be a sad, sad day when my son sets off down the road. By the way, are you lot feeling hungry? No? Anybody hungry? No? You might be hungry later on, yeah? Because you've got to stand here a long time doing this. Is that all right? If you start feeling hungry, I do have something for us to eat, yeah? Good. Because I always get hungry. Now, if you were a younger son and you were thinking, "I'm going off, I'm going to have a brilliant time somewhere," I doubt you'd be thinking, "I'll take some sheep with me, I'll take a cow with me, and this guy can come along as well, and we'll need to set up a farm." I think he'd probably think to himself, "Let's sell those, we'll get rid of those, and we'll get it all changed into some cash. That's what we need is a bit more cash. The lifestyle we are planning requires plenty of money. So let's give him some more money," having sold all of that stuff. Now, when Jesus was telling this story, he said that the day soon came when the younger son decided that he was on his way and he was going off to a far-off country. That's your moving bit. And he went off there, and Jesus said that what he started doing, he started spending his money on what was wild living. And that's how Jesus described it. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, what would live wild living be? And I think he was thinking to himself, when I was at home with my father, he'd brought me up well. He told me about God. He told me about how I should live. But I'm going off with his money, and I'm going to live how I want, and I'm going to do things, actually, that my dad wouldn't like. I'm going to turn back from all the things I learned about living God's way, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm actually going to do it, even if it's wrong. And that's what he was thinking, and that's what happened when he was off wild living. And bit by bit, his money went. Because he started spending his money, and then he spent some more money. But he still had quite a lot left, so he carried on with his wild living, and then he spent some more of his money. And then he just had a little bit back, a little bit left, and then he did some more wild living. And then, as it happens, where he was living, a famine came, and suddenly he found that he actually didn't have anything, and he was alone, penniless, and he was hungry. And he thought to himself, what am I going to do? Those friends I had, I'm alone now, they've gone. And I actually don't have anything to eat. And I'm feeling really, really, really hungry. I wish I had some of my money that I got off my dad left, but I ain't got anything. And to be honest, I'm starving. Now, the story that Jesus was telling, the family would have been a Jewish family, and pigs were animals that they really, really wouldn't have wanted to touch. They'd have wanted to have kept away from. But the younger son thought, well, there's a job going down there. I could look after some pigs. And that's pretty rock bottom, looking after those pigs. That's a really rotten thing to do. And then he was there looking after the pigs and he thought, I am so very, very hungry. This food I'm giving to the pigs, maybe I could even eat some of that. Now, I need to just tell you a little story about food, okay? And we're going to have something to eat in a minute. Is that all right? We ready for something to eat now? Because those who are my age will remember school dinners with great delight. School dinners in my day were like this. You went into the room, you sat down, the same meal was brought to everybody, whether you liked it, whether you didn't like it, whether it was going to be nice, whether it wasn't very nice, and it was put in front of you. Your mission in life at that moment in time was to sit there until the entire plate was eaten. That's what your task was. There was no, I don't like baked beans, no, I don't like cabbage, no, I prefer chicken nuggets. It was whatever was served, you ate. Now, one particular day, I went in, sat down with my friends round the table, and the dinner was brought out. So I started cutting away with my knife, and I could have done with, in truth, probably a chainsaw, but I was sawing away at this meat, and I managed to get it into my mouth. So I started chewing, and I chewed. I ate some potatoes, and I chewed. I ate some cabbage, and I chewed. I got a bit of gravy on some potatoes, and I chewed. And this lump kept growing and growing and growing in the side of my mouth. And I kept going, but I could not swallow it. But there was also, if you've seen the film Matilda, there was ladies walking around like Miss Trunchbull. And their job was to look and see whether you were eating. That's what they were paid for. I think they were on bonus. The more agony the children had, the better it was. So there was no way that this meat that is now in my mouth could go anywhere but down my throat, which it refused to do. So I thought to myself, never mind, it's time for pudding now. Out came some apple crumble and custard, I think it was, and I thought, that'll do it. Bit of apple crumble and custard, it will go down the only way it's allowed to go. But it wouldn't go down. Now you may be wondering why I'm telling you this story, and I'll tell you in a minute. So I ate my apple crumble and custard. Then my plates were clear, so I was free to go. So I went and played out. But there were teachers in the playground who were watching. And I still had this lump of meat in my mouth. So I then went in the classroom when the bell rang, and I sat down at my desk, and we did the lessons in the afternoon, and I still had this lump of meat in my mouth, and it would not go anywhere. Then I walked home, and I was thinking somebody might be seeing me, and I still had this lump of meat in my mouth. Then I walked in the door and my mum said, what's that lump in your mouth, Stuart? And I said, it's my dinner. And my mum was nice and she said, actually, you can spit it out if you want. Now, the reason I'm telling you that story is I happen to know, because my mum worked in school dinners, not where I worked, not where I was, that anything that was left when they were preparing it, anything that was served, not served out, was all put in some bins, and then every now and then a truck would come, take the bins away, and they'd take that food to give to the pigs. And the pigs in Lancashire where I live, they got to eat school dinners as well. So, and that is how rock bottom this younger son had got. Now, are we ready for a snack? Yeah? Yeah? Right, does anybody know where the snack is? I've lost it. I got a snack somewhere. Where's the snack? Ah, the snack is under the table. Right. So we'll just have a break. I've got some food. Do you want some? Anybody want some? Anybody out there want some food? I haven't put you off, have I? Just come on out then, quick. Do you want to come as well, you three boys? You're looking like you're hungry. Yeah? Just one of you come in. I've got tons in here. Just feel the weight of that. I hope you two are very hungry. Right, it's in a special container so it would keep fresh. I haven't emptied this since Wednesday. So are we ready? Help yourselves. Look, there's banana skin in there, there's a bit of a strawberry, there's some old carrots. Right down the bottom there's some chicken that we had for dinner on Wednesday, do you remember? Do you want any? Anybody? Yeah? And this is quite, some of this was this morning's banana, yeah? You don't want any? Oh dear, anybody else? Oh, I better put it away then. My wife had a fit when I said I was bringing this. Right, you go and sit down and come and see me at the end, all right? Can you see the mess that this person has got himself into? Now, we've learned, do you remember, we've learned in the catechism that we started doing, last time's one, we learned was, what is God? God is the creator of everyone and everything. Now, because God has made us, God knows what is best for us. And this younger son, he turned his back on what he knew was best. Now, as I look around the church, upstairs and downstairs, I see lots of children. And I think to myself, I know you, I know who you are, and I know what lots of you are like in because of what we do in Kids at Ken. And as I look around, I think you're really special people. Some of you like really fun things. Some of you like doing quieter things. Some of you like making things. Some of you like sports and are really competitive. And every one of you is different because that's the way that God has made you. But one of the things I really want to say to you is as you grow up, there's going to be people who will say to you, life actually isn't about what God knows is best. Life's about getting rich. Life's about getting famous. That's what life is about. Life's about doing what you want to do, even if it actually hurts other people. Now, one of the things you might not know is that if you're in Kids at Ken or Connect, that day after day after day, me and other people in this church go through a long list of your names and we pray for you. And we pray for you because more than anything else, we want you to know about God, we want you to know about Jesus, and we want you to know God for yourselves. We want you to love Jesus so very much that you want to follow him all of your lives. We don't want you to make a mess of your life, to turn your back on God. We want you to know Jesus when you are young. And some of you have done that. Lots of the people here have done that. Because God knows that that is the right thing for you to do. So what actually comes next in our story? Well, the story gets better now because we're really, really at rock bottom because we start seeing what the father in this story is like. We start seeing what his life, what his heart is like, and it is loving, merciful, and kind. And this is what Jesus said. He says this, the younger son, he came to his senses and he realized that he had done wrong and he also remembered what his father was like. So I need to stick that on there and just take these ones off. Because he'd realized that he had done things that were wrong. But he remembered what the father was like too. Let's just take those off there as well. Because the Father is loving, he is merciful, and that means, merciful means, not giving us what we should have. Because sometimes when we've done wrong, we know we should be punished. but then somebody shows mercy and we are not punished. And that's what that means, and that God is forgiving as well. And that, when we realize that we've done wrong, which is what happened here with the younger son, I wonder what you do. I'll tell you what I do sometimes. To start with, when I realize I've done wrong or somebody tells me I've done wrong, I figure out whose fault it is, because it ain't mine. And I think to myself, if only my friend hadn't left their chocolate over there, then I wouldn't have taken it and I wouldn't have eaten it. So the fact I actually stole that chocolate is in fact my friend's fault. It's not mine. And if that doesn't work to pass it to somebody else, then I maybe think to myself, well, maybe what I've done wrong actually is all right after all. Because somebody said something unkind to me and that hurt me a bit. So I've decided I'll spread a rotten rumor about them that will really hurt them because they deserve it. So therefore, this rotten thing I've done actually wasn't wrong at all because the person deserved it. And our younger son might have said, if only my dad hadn't given me the money, then I wouldn't have gone off wild living. It's his fault, it's not mine. But the younger son, he didn't do that. He decided that what he was going to do was this. He said, I'm going to leave and I'm going to return to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And that's what he actually ended up saying. And he thought that to himself because he'd remembered what his father was really like. But do you see what he has realized in there? His sin had hurt him. He was thinking of eating that horrible food. He got in a real mess. He'd really hurt himself. But he realized that he'd sinned against his father. He'd hurt his father. And whatever we do, when we do wrong, other people get hurt as well. But it also causes a problem with our Heavenly Father, and it breaks our relationship with him. And it causes a problem that has to be sorted out. And that's something we really need to think about. So what does the father do? Because he didn't realize at this moment the son is on his way back. The Bible says in verse 20, but whilst the younger son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and put his arms around him and he kissed him. So that's what the father did. He was full of compassion when he saw his son coming. This is your next moving bit, all right? You've got to go back there. And he was really looking out. He was welcoming his son. And he put his arms around his son and he welcomed him. And the son then looked up and he said his words, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And I'm actually quite sad here at the minute because my grandson hasn't come back. How I wish my grandson would come back. Very sad losing my grandson like that.
Granddad, I'm coming.
Oh, Zach. We can hug, can't we?
Yeah. I've sinned against God and you. I do love you. I do need you, and I want you to be my granddad. All the money's gone. I'm sorry for what I did and said.
Zach, come on, you're my grandson. Of course I forgive you. You are special, okay? Thank you.
Bye.
Can you see the picture that Jesus is painting in this story? Can you see what he's actually showing there of the father who'd been so hurt, his son had said, actually pretty well, I wish you were dead. And yet he's there watching and he sees him coming. He doesn't know he's on his way. He sees him coming and then he runs. He puts his arms around him and you can just see the tears rolling the son looking up at his father and then saying those words and the father forgiving him. And isn't that a wonderful, wonderful picture of the Father, of our Heavenly Father? And that's what we're trying to see there. And the Father says this, he says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it, let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And the barrier that the sin had created, that had broken them apart, that had now gone. And the son was sorry, and he put himself back under the love and care of his father. Their relationship was restored, and he was forgiven, and he was welcomed back as a son. Now, if you're wondering what the clothes and the ring and the sandals were about, what they were about is so that everybody who saw the son would realize he is the son. He doesn't look like a servant. He doesn't look like a worker in the field. He looks like a son. He is back under the love and care of his father. And everybody would know that. So let's just whip those off there. And he was a forgiven sinner. And he was now back as the son of the father. So what had the father actually done? This is what he'd done. He'd loved the son. He forgave the son. He'd restored his son. And then he celebrated. And that's what he had done. And that's what happens when any one of us comes to our Heavenly Father and says, I have sinned against you and against other people, and I'm really sorry, and I want to be part of your family once more. But what about the older son? You see, he wasn't like the father. He was quite different because he heard what was going on. He heard the party going on. He heard that his son had come back, his younger brother had come back, and that he'd been forgiven. But he actually was nothing really like that. He just became angry. That's what happened with the older son. He wasn't interested in welcoming his brother back. And he refused to show him any mercy. He, in fact, just reminded his father, do you not remember what my younger brother's done? He took all your money off. He's lived wild living. He's done horrible things. And he refused to show any mercy. And this is one of the things that they are, the two sons are the same. That just revealed the sin that was in his life too. And remember, this is a picture of the religious leader who's thinking to himself, I'm a really great guy. Let's move you along there a little bit because you've now split up from there. But the father loved him too because verse 28 says, even though he was celebrating with his son, it says, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered those words, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And he refused to come in. So that actually leaves us with a challenge. Because we have seen the loving, merciful, forgiving Father. And we have seen two sons. We've seen one son who said, I'm an out-and-out rebel. I'm going to do whatever I want. And we've seen another one who hung around. He pretended to have a relationship with his father, but it wasn't real. He actually had very little love for his father. He just thought he was slaving. That's what he thought he was doing. And he had no softness in his heart when his younger brother came back, sorry for what he had done. He just stuck with his bitterness. And that's what lots of us are like. Some of us, we just know that we do loads of things wrong. Others of us, we just stick at the thinking of, I'm really, really good. So how are we going to respond? You see, our Heavenly Father, He is just the same as he was when Jesus described him in this story. He is still loving. He never changes. He is still merciful. He is still forgiving. And he's looking out for each one of us to come and seek forgiveness. And I think we actually all know we need it. We've been looking at stuff up on that screen. I don't think there is one person in this room, if I said, we're just going to watch a video of everything you've thought, said and done this week. We're all going to watch it now. Put your hand up if you'd like it to be you. Not one of us would do that. Each one of us knows that we have failed. Each one of us knows that we have done wrong. And each one of us knows that we need forgiveness. So maybe you're like this son who went off doing all sorts of things and then he came back really seeking forgiveness. Or maybe you're like this one who just sticks in their bitter resentment. You see, God's love, mercy, and forgiveness is bigger than any of our sin. Because Jesus paid the price for every sin that we ever committed. And no one is too bad for God. And no one actually is good enough not to need God. Every one of us needs to become a forgiven sinner and a son, a child of God. And that's what the story of the lost son or the prodigal son is really about. It's teaching us about God. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I need to know more about that, then I would love to chat to you at the end. Today is a good day to give your life to Christ, to find forgiveness, to know God for yourself. We talked earlier of people who've died recently. Each one of those were trusting in Jesus. Each one of those is now in heaven worshiping their God. That's what's at stake with what we are looking at this morning. That's why Jesus told stories like this, so that we might know what we need to do to come to know God. And my prayer is for the young people, for the adults, that every one of us would come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and love him and follow him all of our lives. And if that's not you at this moment, at least come and talk to me or maybe the person you came along with and find out more about that, because that is something you really, really need to think about. I want to thank my helpers because you've been really brilliant. Now, did you want something to eat? Yeah? I'll give you a clue. The answer now is yes. Yeah? Would you like something? Let me show you what the something is, and that might just encourage you along the way. Would you like something to eat? No! Would you? Go on then, brilliant. Would you? Right. You sure you don't? Your dad will eat it. Right, let me just bob that there. Right, thank you to my helpers. If you go and sit down, sure you don't want that.